Well, good morning, and again, welcome. Benny and I are sitting here in Independence, and actually the service is going on. We're at the temple lot now, and the service is going on upstairs. As Benny said, as he expressed the interest in your prayers for me, I would appreciate your prayers as well. I would encourage you to pray for the services that are going on, whether it's here in the temple lot or wherever today. I have kind of a couple thoughts, and I potentially, I guess, maybe a little brief today, but nonetheless, some thoughts have been on my mind, and some thoughts that I've kind of just wanted to share, and maybe a couple different scriptures that I'm going to potentially bounce around a little bit. And I have kind of two thoughts to start, I guess, the beginning of my sermon. And I'm going to start in Luke, the 11th chapter. And none of these verses are verses that we don't know. These are none that are new to us, but ones that these first two scriptures I want to read to try to at least set the foundation of my comments for today. I'm going to start in Luke, the 11th chapter, and I'm just going to read the 9th and the 10th verse. And it goes, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And you know, we had the opportunity to participate in the youth camp this last week, and the opportunity to work with the youth of the church. Always an exciting time for us, and always one that we're very thankful for the blessings of our Heavenly Father. We know that we are blessed, and we know that we had His Spirit there with us. But these verses kind of are ones that kind of stuck out to me as we went through the week this last week. And it's that, you know, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And kind of my testimony is to those verses is that we went through the week last week, and we kind of started off the week with a desire to ensure that we're doing those things that are to serve the Lord. And we asked the question, everyone, and how do we define success? And how do we define success for the camp, for our service, in our spiritual lives, for anything that we do? How do we define success? You know, someone had made the comment that, you know, it goes beyond just us, I guess, having the kids sit and read their scriptures, and it's almost kind of a force feed sometimes to kids because they may not be as interested. But it's that, how do we create that desire, or how do we help them that they have that desire to learn and to serve? Yesterday, there was some baptisms here at the Temple Lot, and there were 6 baptisms. And there was a couple from out in Philadelphia, I think, or Pennsylvania, that were baptized. And they both kind of gave their testimony and talked about how that they had searched and they had known that there was a desire for more there. And that scripture really stood out to me, is that, you know, here was a couple that really no connection to the church, other than a desire to come back and to come to Independence and seek out what the one brother called seek out is to come find Zion, or to come see Zion. And to me, that kind of stood out to me, is that reinforcement of that verse is that, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and for he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And I think in our spiritual lives today is that very much is that the Lord is there for us, for that knock, for that seek, for that desire to have answers. And much like that brother and sister, much like the young children that were baptized yesterday, they each shared their testimony of that desire and that I guess in my words, that desire to open up unto our Heavenly Father. And I feel like we were blessed through that. And so, to me, I want us to think about, and I encourage us to think about, is that that we each have that opportunity to seek. We each have that opportunity to find, and we each have that opportunity to knock. But it takes that action on our part. Turn with me to 2 Nephi, and I'm going to spend a lot of time in the Book of Mormon this morning. I've got a couple of fairly long verses. And along those lines, much like we read there in that seeking and knocking and asking, you know, it's the action that we know the Lord is always there. We know the Lord is always listening, but ultimately it takes our step, our action. Turn with me, and I'm in the second book of Nephi, the first chapter. It's page 82 in my Book of Mormon. And, you know, it's that as we knock, as we seek, again, that action that we have to take on ourselves, we know that the Spirit is there, and we know that our Heavenly Father is there. And we're reminded of that. In the 65th verse, it says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And that you know, that's so simple and that's so easy to understand, is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is unchangeable. And you know, that what changes or what may distract us are the things in the world, the things in our lives, Satan that's trying to pull us away and trying to tempt us. You know, much like then in the 81st verse, it says, "For must needs be that there is opposition in all things." And we know that, and we understand that, and we feel that. In fact, I'm going to back up, and I want to start in the 76th verse, and I'm going to read from the 76th verse to the 100th verse. "Wherefore, he is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as he shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. And because of the intercession for all men come unto God." And I believe that. And I think there is an inner being, or there's an inner drive, or an inner passion in each of us. And we have that flame, and we have that burning desire at times in our lives. But, you know, it's not Christ. It's not the Spirit that changes, but sometimes it's us. And sometimes it's us that pull away from that Spirit, or sometimes it's us that pull away from Christ, but it is our responsibility. Because he does not change, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, our calling is are we knocking? Are we seeking? Are we asking the Lord for his direction, for his guidance? I'm going to continue on there then. It's 76th verse, or I'm sorry, 78th verse. "And because of the intercession for all men come unto God. Wherefore they stand in the presence of him to be judged of him according to the truth and holiness which is in him. Wherefore the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of the punishment which is affixed, which punishment that is affixed is in opposition to that of the happiness which is affixed, to answer the ends of the atonement." And I think about that happiness, and I think about that, in fact, I heard somebody, you know, make the request when they were calling for prayers upstairs is, you know, that encouragement for us to be thankful for the blessings that we do have. I remember my grandmother, my dad's mother, and she was an individual that, you know, as you look at life, there are those that look at life as the glass half full, and there are those that look at the glass that is half empty. And the half full, of course, is that optimism and that excitement, and sometimes that half empty is I had someone tell me it's the realistic look sometimes. But you know, in my life, I find myself as more of the optimist. The glass is half full, and my grandmother was one who was the opposite. And she typically, you know, things could always be better. But I remember a lesson even from my grandmother that would talk to me about, you know, in every time that we pray, we have so much to be thankful for. And we have so much. And that communication with Christ and that communication with God the Father is our is our opportunity to be thankful for those blessings that we have, and be thankful for that happiness that we have and the blessings that we have. Continuing on at the 81st verse, "For it must needs be that there is opposition in all things. For if not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness could not be brought to pass, neither wickedness, neither holiness, nor misery, neither good nor bad." And this is Lehi talking, and we know the story of Lehi. We know the story of his children, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam. We know the opposition that they faced. We know the challenges that they faced. But I truly believe, had we been there during this time, I think we would have seen those expressing their appreciation and their thankfulness to God. "If not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness cannot be brought to pass, neither wickedness nor holiness nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore all things must needs be a compound in one. Wherefore, if it should be one body, it must needs remain as dead, having no life, neither death nor corruption, nor incorruption, happiness nor misery, neither sense nor insensibility. Wherefore, it must needs have been created for a thing of naught." And you know, that's a strong verse to me. And as I think about that, "Wherefore it must needs have been created for a thing of naught." Right? We have been created for a purpose. We have been created for that plan, and it takes us making that step. "Wherefore there would have been no purpose in the end of its creation. Wherefore this thing must needs destroy the wisdom of God and his eternal purpose, and also the power and the mercy and the justice of God. And if ye shall say there is no law, ye shall also say there is no sin. And if ye shall say there is no sin, ye shall also say there is no righteousness. And if there be no righteousness, there be no happiness. And if there be no righteousness nor happiness, there be no punishment nor misery. And if these things are not, there is no God. And if there is no God, we are not, neither the earth, for there could have been no creation of things, neither to act nor to be acted upon. Wherefore all things must have vanished away. And now, my sons, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both in heavens and in earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purpose in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other." It was really interesting, and I guess the reason why I went to the scripture, and I've read the scripture before here with us, but the reason why I went to this is that reinforcement, or that reminder, is that, you know, it is Christ is not changing. And it is us and our humanly faults and our humanly lives that we fall away, or that we risk that falling away. And Christ is continuing to call, and he challenges us, and he expects us to knock. I want to turn to another scripture, and I want to go to just a little bit further on in the life of Lehi. And I want to read the third chapter. And this is a rather lengthy reading. And it's one that I think has always meant a lot to me as I've thought about this. And it's that kind of progression that we see of Nephi, that Nephi goes through after his father Lehi died. And Nephi, I would expect, and from what we read and understand, as being very close with his father Lehi, and Nephi struggling with those challenges, and much like we read back before, you know, and that Christ does not change, and that challenge for us is how do we call unto him, and how do we seek unto him, and to me this chapter really reinforces that prayer that I think we should have. we're going to read through this. We're going to read through the full chapter, and there's several verses here, 66 verses. And so I'd ask for your patience as we go through this, but to me, it really reinforces the point. And now I, Nephi, speak concerning the prophecies of which my father had spoken concerning Joseph, who was carried into Egypt. For behold, he truly prophesied concerning all his seed. And the prophecies which he wrote, there are not many greater. And he prophesied concerning us and our future generations. And they are written upon the plates of brass. Wherefore, after my father hath made an end of speaking concerning the prophecies of Joseph, he called the children of Laman, his sons, his daughters, and saith unto them, Behold, my sons and daughters, which are the sons and daughters of my firstborn, I would that ye should give ear unto my words. For the Lord God hath said that inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. And inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from my presence. But behold, my sons and my daughters, I cannot go down into my grave, save I should leave a blessing upon you. For behold, I know that if ye are brought up in the right way that ye should go, ye will not depart from it. Wherefore, if ye are cursed, behold, I leave my blessing upon you, that the cursing may be taken from you and be answered upon the heads of your parents. Wherefore, because of my blessing, the Lord God will not suffer that ye shall perish. Wherefore, he will be merciful unto you and unto your seed forever. You know, and it's always it's always interesting when I read these verses, when I read this chapter. It's the kind of the, we know how the story ends, or at least we know how the Book of Mormon and the rest of the Book of Mormon reads. And we understand the story of Laman and Lemuel, the Lamanites, the Nephites. We understand how the story progresses and how it continues here within this word, and we understand the history of what has happened in this nation. So beyond that, we also understand this calling to us, and that comparison to us in our lives, and that calling that we have to a higher thing, to a greater thing. And I truly believe today in our lives, our Heavenly Father is calling out to us, and he's challenging us, and he's asking us knock. He's asking us to come and seek, and we have to take that step. Continuing on at the 14th verse, And it shall come to pass that after my father had made an end of speaking to the sons and daughters of Laman, he caused the sons and daughters of Lemuel to be brought before him. And he spake unto them, saying, Behold, my sons and my daughters, which are the sons and daughters of my second son, behold, I leave unto you the same blessing which I left unto the sons and daughters of Laman. Wherefore, thou shalt not utterly be destroyed, but in the end of thy seed shall be blessed. And it came to pass that when my father made an end of speaking unto them, behold, it came to pass that he spake unto the sons of Ishmael, yea, and even all his household. And after that he made an end of speaking unto them, he spake unto Sam, saying, Blessed art thou and thy seed, for thou shalt inherit the land like unto thy brother Nephi. And thy seed shall be numbered with his seed. And thou shalt be even like unto thy brother, and thy seed like unto his seed. And thou shalt be blessed in all thy days. And it came to pass that after my father Lehi had spoken unto all his house according to the feelings of his heart and the Spirit of the Lord which was in him, he waxed old. And it came to pass that he died, and he was buried. And it came to pass that not many days after his death, Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael were angry with me because of the admonitions of the Lord. For I, Nephi, was constrained to speak unto them according to the word. For I had spoken many things unto them and also my father before his death, many of which sayings are written upon mine and other plates, for a more history part are written upon mine other plates. And upon these I write the things of my soul and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord, in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. You know, and I envision, and I think about that verse, and I think about that very verse. You know, here is a man who I would say is a man of God. And he goes in and he starts to read now, and he starts to lay out for us challenges that he has in his own life. And to me, these are ones that stand out if we could be in that time of Nephi, if we have that opportunity beyond this life, that we get to meet Nephi, I would love to understand some of those prayers and a godly man, and I have that respect for him. And it continues on, "My soul grieveth because of my iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which thus so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support, and he hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. And he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of the Spirit hath my body been carried away, and mine eyes have been beheld great things, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them." So I want to pause there, and I want to go to a scripture. And when I think about these verses, when I think about these things, "He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me," in the 37th verse. "Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge and visions by night. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer." You know, to me, it would be I would feel wrong if I didn't turn to Ephesians, and a scripture that we all know and we all know very, very well, and it's putting on the whole armor of God. And I want to read that to us. It's in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and it starts with the 10th verse. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting at the 10th verse. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Right? This is nothing that we don't know, and these are not scriptures that are new to us ever, and ones that we think about. And to me, I see Nephi putting on this whole armor of God. I see Nephi having that strength. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And this 18th verse is, to me, the icing on the cake, or the cherry on top of the whipped cream. This one really tops this off. And it says, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Right? So to me, that calling, and to me, that memory of that prayer and that supplication and that understanding that there is a calling there for us. I remember, and my memory will always stand in this very verse, is that praying always. And I remember seeing a young brother at camp, and one year in this camp skit, this cabin. They were doing their skit, and you'll have to excuse us. We're pulling some chairs out of here. Young brother was doing a skit, and this verse was our theme for the camp this year. And as we were as this skit was going through and doing this verse and explaining this verse, they started off with a young brother that came out, and he was going out to go fight a battle. And he started off in going out to fight this battle, and he started off with his loins girt about and he had a breastplate on, and so you see this young man, and basically the story goes on in the skit that they were doing at a campfire, where every time, you know, he'd come out and go to battle with that next piece, you know, the breastplate and having the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation every time, and the sword, and each time he'd come out and go to battle, and he kept losing that battle, and till the very end when he came out, and before he went to battle, he had on his armor, he had the sword, and he had the breastplate and the helmet, but before he went to battle, he knelt down and prayed, and he was victorious after that, and clearly we know that we can be victorious with the Lord. But again, like I shared earlier, it's that we have to take that step. Continuing on, and I'm going to go back and continue on here. And so starting at the 34th verse in the second book of Nephi, the third chapter, I'm on page 92. I'm going to go to the 34th verse. "And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. And he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake." And I wanted to read this again, because to me that verse, you know, that excites me as I think about young children, as I think about our kids, you know, that prayer is that we know the temptations will come, but our prayer is that their enemies might quake. "Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and hath given me the knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day I have waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of a spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. And then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow and flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of my enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin." And to me, this is that 46th verse really starts into that praise and that thankfulness that he offers up unto the Lord. "Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. My soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? And wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, and I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness?" And to me, that verse is ultimately my prayer for us today. And ultimately, my hope is that we have that robe of righteousness, that protection, Well, again, that protection around us. Continuing on to the 57th verse, "O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way? But that thou wouldest clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me. If I ask not amiss, therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee. my rock and my everlasting God. And that is my prayer. As I shared earlier, in that God that does not change, in that Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it still requires our action. It still requires our step. And my hope is that our voice will forever ascend up unto Christ, that we will continue to pray unto Him, cry unto Him like I know we do, and ask Him for His guidance and direction, His protection. My hope is that each of you are safe and well where you're at, and my prayers are for you, and I hope your prayers are for me as well. Thank you.